Conversations Chai and Chat is a safe and open space for young adults to dive into real, unfiltered discussions about relationships, mental health, and everything in between. We're here to break the stigma, share experiences, and support each other through honest conversations over a cup of chai. We understand that some topics may be sensitive or triggering. If you need support, please reference our bio information. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Unfiltered Conversations Chai and Chat. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a space where we, as young South Asian girls, get real about relationships, culture, identity, and everything in between. We're so happy to have you here.
Yes, and a big shout out to Planet FM for collaborating with us to bring these conversations straight to your ears. I'm your host for today, Raquel, and I'm here with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Liana.
And I'm Chelsea.
Okay, so we're almost at the end of our Unfiltered Conversations Chai and Chat series, which is quite sad, but, you know, we'll make sure to make these last two episodes worth it.
For sure. Like today, we're going to focus on something a little serious. We want to share our stories of coming to Aotearoa, fitting in and finding ourselves. And we know that our stories can be similar to those of our listeners. So if you're listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, this is so relatable, I hope you feel heard and just know that you're not alone.
We'll also be talking a little bit about what that experience of moving must have been like for our parents. And just that importance of being proud of our traditions alive as third culture kids.
Yes, so lots of little fun kind of topics for today's episode. Do any one of you guys want to start us off with, you know, how we sort of came to New Zealand? And I can go first.
Okay.
unless you guys want to go first.
I remember I came around Christmas and I came straight from India. And the thing is, Christmas is supposed to be winter, and it was so weird. It was like hot ass here. And then I was like sweating, and it was so bad. And I was like, and I see a Christmas tree, and it made me so mad. And I come from a place in India where it snows.
Oh.
It snows like half the year. So, and I was like, what is this? A Christmas tree in the middle of summer.
Like, where'd the snow?
And I used to, like, for the first 10 days, I was like right in the city center, like Sky City. And the big tree.
Mm.
Like, why? Come back with snow.
Yeah. I've actually never experienced Christmas in winter.
It's oh my gosh.
Always been in summer for me.
Crazy.
And the thought of, like, I don't know, like, snowy Christmas sounds nice, but for me, Christmas has always been the beach, picnics, swimming.
Damn.
That's just, like, everything related to Christmas is, like, summer.
That's so different.
Yeah, I feel like for me, it's, like, the complete opposite. Like, I associate, like, being cold and snowy, like, sweaters, like, ugly Christmas sweaters and, like, socks, like cute little
Hollywood
socks.
Style.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, Christmas has always just been a very winter, cozy thing for me.
Oh,
yeah.
I kind of want to see snowy winter.
You should
experience
it. What's that mountain called? Snow Mountain?
Tongariro.
Yeah.
I have.
Snow?
But it's not in Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Ain't the calendar.
But yeah. So how long ago was that?
What's that? It's 2025. I came in 2022, 2023. I don't know.
Okay.
It's been like right before year 9.
I just realized, like, it's 2025.
I can't believe 2025 sounds so dystopian.
I know.
Because it's so weird.
Like, wow.
I read a lot of dystopian books.
Hence,
it's weird for me.
It's like you're in 2025.
I think that it sounds weird to say. Oh my god, wait, it sounds so weird to say, but I came here in 2026. Oh no, sorry, not 2026. My brain had a little fart. I came here in 2006.
We were born.
Just oh my gosh. Oh my
I'm
goodness.
I'm sorry.
We weren't even in the womb.
What? That is crazy. That is crazy for me to think. You guys are making me feel really old right now.
You're not old, Liana. You're our age. You're still in high school.
In my head, I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, for listeners who don't know, I am a couple of years older than these babies.
Wow.
Just call us babies.
But yeah, that way.
5 years.
Because then that way I'm a baby as well.
Oh, yeah, for real.
Yeah. But yeah.
You're off topic.
anyways, okay, so I moved here when I was 5. So I have had, like, I feel like listeners are probably calculating my age right now, but I moved here when I was 5. And so growing up, you know, I was always in this new culture of, like, and my parents would be like, it was actually really funny because the first year of moving here, I did not know any English.
Oh.
And I was just going into year one. And I think for a year, a whole year, I didn't speak to anyone. And my teachers would tell my mom, like, oh, she doesn't speak to anyone. She doesn't say anything.
Did you do the same?
I lived in China for 3.5 years.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
And I was in kindergarten. I used to sit on a different table because I couldn't speak to anyone. It feels really sad, but I loved it because I got, like, princess treatment.
Oh.
Because I was kind of different. I was the only international kid in my
school.
But, like, still.
She's a karate kid.
Yeah. For real, bro. For real. Go on.
But, yeah. Twinsies. But, yeah, I didn't speak a word of English for, like, a year. And so my mom started telling everyone in my family, like, my sisters and my dad and everyone. And she was like, everyone needs to speak English to her at home so she can pick it up. And then as soon as I picked up English, my mom's like, we're not speaking English in this household ever again. If you're home, you were going to speak in Hindi. And I was like, what?
That is crazy.
Crazy switch up. I've seen this in so many households. Mm. Not yours. Your part is understandable, to be honest, because you're in New Zealand.
Yeah.
You have to do this. Mm-hmm. People in India, I've seen family. It's because it kind of becomes toxic.
Oh.
And they start calling those kids whitewashed. And you're like, you're whitewashed. You didn't even leave India. And you're like, whitewashed. And I'm like, girl, don't blame them.
It's the parents.
It's the parents. Because they talk every single moment of their life in English.
Yeah.
How do you expect them to find a normal to speak in Hindi then after?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if they're bullied because it's not a first-hand experience, but I just know that this happens.
Some of them are low-key. Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad saying this, but low-key, I would probably be one of those people who would be like, what do you mean you don't speak Hindi? Like, that, it's a little thing for me, but it's also, it could be, because I've come to know that some parents do this so that their kids can actually adjust better to certain lifestyles.
Yeah.
And I think in doing so, they sometimes forget that it's also, you know, like, them not knowing their mother tongue is also going to be a little bit of, you know, a setback for them as well. Because
mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things my mom did for me was make sure that I was bilingual, that I knew English and my mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still to this day, it helps me connect better with, like, my family. And I lived in Fiji for a couple of years. Oh my God, I went there and everybody was like, oh, this whitewashed girl. And they're saying it in Hindi. I was like, girl, I was like, what are you mean?
Like, I can hear you.
I know what you're saying.
It's giving those movie scenes when you're like, when they're like talking behind you, I'm like, it's hello.
Yeah, like,
it's,
I can speak that language.
It's giving, Kuch Kuch Hota. Have you guys seen Kuch Kuch Hota?
I haven't watched it, but like, what scene? I
can't. Isn't it when Tina goes back into high school? It's okay, so it's Rani Mukherjee, Kajol, and Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
So when Rani Mukherjee goes back to, like, school in India, and Shah Rukh Khan is like, Gayatri Mantra, and she's like, oh, she can't sing it, she's from London, and she starts singing it.
I feel so bad, I can't remember stuff.
Guys, I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a Bollywood freak.
I wish I was.
But I feel like when you can speak your mother tongue and you speak to someone else in your mother tongue, it's just like a special connection. Mm. Like, it's different.
Yeah.
I feel proud, like, listening to kids that can speak their mother tongue, especially if they've, like, lived their whole life here. I'm like, your parents did right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because
I've seen they're more confident in, especially talking about their culture. Then I'm like, yeah, I can speak my language. Mm. I know my culture. Yeah. You can't. So it gives you confidence too. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also like, I know, I have this thing of like, it connects me closer to my culture a lot quicker than it does for kids who don't speak the language, because sometimes they feel, and I know a lot of kids who do this, some of them aren't even, you know, South Asian per se, but they have, you know, a mother tongue and whatnot. And it's just that feeling of like, oh, that we feel like they themselves feel so fake just because they don't know their mother tongue.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad to hear, because they put in all this effort to, like, you know, connect with their culture and be part of their culture. But just because they don't speak the language, they feel very disconnected.
Yeah. Mm. It's like when I go back to India, like, I can speak my mother tongue, but I'm not like insanely fluent. Like, I can speak it, but it's very basic. So compared to my English, like, my vocab is like very limited. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm with my family and stuff, they grew up there and they're speaking like very hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
And like my family that I live with in New Zealand, like we speak in like English and my mother tongue. Mm-hmm. And it's like a good mix of both. But when you're back in India, it's like just your mother tongue. So even like sometimes I want to like express my feelings, but I can't do it in my mother tongue because it's so much easier to do it in English. Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, that sometimes makes you feel a little distant, because you're like, okay, like, how do I like explain this feeling to them? Like, I have a vocab of like 5 words and this is not enough.
Nah, I feel you, because the thing about us, I love to call myself trilingual, because I'm like a really show-offy person about when it comes to culture and stuff. But this, my mother tongue, and the thing is, where I come from, Hindi is like really widespread, but if you don't know your mother tongue, you're like, are you even like from here? Because so I'm from Kashmir, right? So so most of my generation, we understand Kashmiri, but we can't speak it. And a sad thing is, I started speaking Kashmiri when I came here to New Zealand. So I was, and that's also, again, connection. I feel more connected to my parents and stuff. But still, and you get, like, shamed. You're like, you're Kashmiri. You don't know Kashmiri. Mm-hmm. What the heck is that? Like, then the how you say whitewash? It's just like, and you're like, they're like, I can't word it. Wait.
Like a coconut?
Yeah, something. And I'm like, like, we're still here. Mm. You're still us.
Yeah.
If you can't speak it, that don't shame other people for it.
Yeah. And it is a sad feeling, because I've, weirdly enough, even though I'm fluent in Hindi, and obviously I don't know like the really intense terms, but I know a bit, right? Mm-hmm. I've also been told that I'm not, like, my Hindi isn't fluent because I have an accent to it.
Oh.
Which I'm like, but my Hindi is fluent. I know I'm fluent. Yeah. What do you mean? But just because I live, you know, in Aotearoa and I have this accent that comes with it, people are just like, oh, like I've actually, like someone has actually said that to me. I was like, that is crazy.
That's wild. Yeah. To your face?
To my face, that yeah. Is. They're like, oh my God, your Hindi's so bad. And I was like,
Girl,
at least I can speak more language than you.
He said but yeah, I think it's just like crazy how people, you know, just because you don't know the language, it just means that you don't know anything else about your culture either.
Yeah.
Like you could not be fluent and still be like well educated on your culture and, you know, the different festivals, different rituals and customs, traditions, things like that. But yeah.
Not to sound mean to anyone, like not pinpointing anyone, but I've seen people, they shame people on like, oh my gosh, you don't know how to speak our language, so you're not cultured enough. Mm. But you're not even if you speak it, you don't follow the traditions, the values, the culture properly.
Mm.
And I'm like, who are you to tell me that I'm not cultured enough when you're not even following your values and traditions properly?
Mm.
I'm like, keep it to yourself, mate. Keep it.
I feel like
yourself.
Like genuinely, just don't go up to anyone and be like, you're not cultured. Like, just show.
Like, look at yourself first, and then look at someone else.
I think it's the whole idea of like, you know, everybody is on their own journey of finding their culture and connecting with their culture. You can't go out and judge people based on, like, what part of the journey they're on, you know? Like, I could be, like, if we're, hypothetically, if we're giving it stages, right? Let's say there's 10 stages. If someone is at stage 8, you can't like call out someone who's at stage 2 because it's, you know, it's their process.
You were at stage 2 sometime.
You were there as well. And it takes time. You know, if you see someone who is genuinely trying to connect to their culture, you should actually support them in making sure that, you know, they're connecting with their culture, even though they live in a different country.
I think because some people, especially when I go back home, they're like, how are you with us? How do you even know about this? And I'm like,
because I'm cultured.
No, because you're from the same family. Mm. What do you mean I don't know about this? Yeah. You know about this. I should know about this. Mm. That if I don't know, that means I'm not like observant. I'm not like, what's it called?
Like, I'm
considerate about what everything is. Like, if you don't know it, that means you're not considerate. Mm. But like, I've seen people more cultured, they're like more connected to their culture when they're outside of India or like South Asian, like anywhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I'm like,
I've seen that too, actually. That I think it's that sense of like, you know, that we're outside of our homeland, so it's that kind of thing of like, oh, we really have to preserve our culture. Like when we moved here, thankfully, fortunately, my family had a lot of support from family who were already living here, and they already had created this community of like, and you know, like every Tuesdays or something we'll have a prayer to go to, or if it's like a big festival, we'll celebrate it together with that community.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of like encouraged me in understanding my culture. But also a lot of my own research as well, like when I was like, especially when I had like grown up a little bit more, like around the end of high school, I was a bit more like, oh, actually, like, I kind of want to know myself, you know, like what our culture is. So I did a lot of online research as well, like like, what did the scriptures say, what was sort of the traditions back in the days, how did it evolve, things like that. Because again, culture is ever evolving, it's gonna change from different eras. That's my thing.
You know how you like, you're talking about research? I'm a really debatey person, so I'm like, I need to be like a know-it-all. So I have done research, I know my past, I know my present. And so Kashmir, this is a public platform, it's a really politically debated place too, if you go through like history and like through politics. So I need to know my stuff. And I have had people online and in person talk about like, so are you Pakistani or are you Indian? I'm like, babe, let me be me, don't talk to me right now.
I'm Kashmiri.
Yeah, like, it's not your business. And then I'm like, yeah, if you know your stuff, you're confident to like talk to people, especially when it comes to culture. Because I've seen white people come and they're like, oh, you're not doing that right. I'm doing henna, bro. If I don't know what I'm doing right, then, and how do you know what I'm doing?
Why?
Like,
how does one even do henna right?
Yeah, how is there a wrong way to do henna?
No, like, it's just like, I've not seen, that doesn't look traditional. Like, there's nothing traditional. I can just do it. Anyone can do it.
Yeah, it's just like designing.
Have you seen, like, it's not, like, when it comes to braids stuff, they're like, and then a lot of actual black people, they're like, it's just hair care. Mm. Come on, anyone can do braids.
What, Leah, do you want to share anything about sort of your
journey to you? Okay, I completely forgot. I got like drifted away with this.
We're in a whole different topic.
Oh, wait, let me think. Okay. I came to New Zealand when I was 13, but before I came here, I wasn't in India. I was at Kuwait, and I think Kuwait, like, I feel like there are a lot of Indians there, especially South Indians. So I didn't feel distant from my culture, but it's not the same as when you are in India. So like, that's what I mean. Like, I know my language, but like, I'm not fluent enough for someone that actually lives there. So like, I remember like when I go to India and stuff, I would feel like kind of distant from my cousins that lived in India their whole lives, because like, they wouldn't know a lot of things that were like normal in Kuwait. So it was like my everyday things would be like different to them. Like, I remember like 2 years ago when I was in India, I was like talking about Pinterest and like something that I wanted to like sew, and my cousin was like, Pinterest, what's that? I was like,
that's crazy.
Like, you don't know Pinterest? Whoa. Like, what do you mean? And like, I never thought of that as like a Western thing. I just thought it was like, oh yeah, it's Pinterest.
Yeah.
And they were like, what's Pinterest? And I'm like, okay, so it's this app.
I guess you can tell I'm not from here.
Yeah, like, I'm like, oh, okay, so you don't know that, okay. And like, they'll talk about other things and I will have no idea what they're talking about. So, you know, like, sometimes it just makes a gap. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I try to like work towards my culture. Like, my parents, they're very adamant about me not forgetting my language. Like, I know how to read and write very bad, but I know. And like, they're very adamant about me not forgetting that, because there are a lot of people that I know who moved here when they were younger and they were like very, very fluent in the language when they were younger, but then they forgot it as they got older, because like, you know, they just never like kept up with it. So that's something that I'm trying to work towards. Like, I really don't want to forget it.
That's nice. And like,
yeah.
And I think you see that a lot more commonly nowadays, is like young people trying to actually connect and keep their culture. I think there's this, especially like, you know, a lot of sometimes parents or grandparents, they feel like we're not connected to the culture or our roots, but in most cases we are, or at least we're trying. You know, we're trying our best, and it sort of just shows up differently than to how our parents kind of connected to culture, you know? But at the end of the day, we're still trying.
Yeah.
No, I've seen, like, our generation, I've seen people who are, like, more confident, who are more passionate about preserving our culture than, like, previous generations that felt like, under pressure, especially when they move. Like, our parents, when they move, like, to a whole different country, like New Zealand is like not India. It's really different. And then they try to fit in, and then they like kind of lose stuff, and then like now our generation is like trying to revive it more and like preserving it, and like, yeah, we should do this, we should more diversity, more representation. And yeah, we need to
I think, sorry, on that subject of, you know, like, parents coming into this, into, like, a whole different country, you know, not even just Aotearoa, but just moving outside of their motherland, there's this pressure on them to sort of fit in. And when I was little, when I was younger, this is not a sob story, guys, but it's for me to make a point.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was bullied for, you know, being brown and being in this new country. And I didn't really let it get to me, because I had a really supportive family, and then later on I got to have some really good friends. But now that I'm grown, I sometimes think about the bullying that my parents might have gone through.
Yeah.
You know, being, and especially like with me, I was a child, so I could kind of get away with the fact that, you know, I'm still learning English, I'm still growing, but they are grown people who are going through, you know, like subtle racism, subtle bullying in their work of place or in public or things like that. And I just, it just makes me sad to think about that, you know, parents had to face that as well.
Well, like, sometimes I don't know, I've noticed this. On the topic of racism and stuff, on the name of diversity and representation, people are just, I don't know, like, I don't think so there's like genuine acceptability. Is that a word? Acceptability?
Yeah.
Acceptance?
Like, acceptance, yeah.
Acceptance. Wait, I'm trying to think, is it acceptability?
It's acceptance. There's not genuine acceptance. People, like, especially if you'd like watch, like, see advertisements, sometimes they just do it like, in the name of diversity, in the name of representation, we should have this. So like, people actually come to us and be like,
the values don't match.
Like, why not, like, through actual genuineness, like, oh, she needs it, like, let her be in this thing.
it's kind of giving like when Disney adds like one cultured person into every like movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there you go. Representing people.
And it's not even accurate.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're like, oh, she's South Asian. Okay, but what, like specifically, or like what are you?
They're like, oh, no, she's really South Asian, like representing all of that.
She's here for everything. What do you mean? Aren't you guys like one whole no. But yeah, it's wild.
It's wild.
In this episode, we shared our stories of traveling to Aotearoa, and we also talked about how it must have been like for our parents moving to a completely different place. We also focused on the importance of keeping our traditions alive and being a part of it.
And tune in for our 10th and final episode, where we'll recap on everything we've talked about so far, the aim of this podcast, and just a sweet yap session to celebrate the end of our series.
As usual, we're still posting a fun interactive kind of activity on our Instagram, which is chai.chat. So be sure to head on over there and play along. You may be in to win a sweet prize.
Along with that, you can also find the links to Shama Ethnic Women's Trust Spotify account and the Planet FM website link, both of which will let you listen to all of these episodes whenever and wherever you like.
In our bio, you can also find the link to our support services PDF file. This PDF has information for rainbow support, mental health, and more. So please have a look at it. You never know when you or a friend or family member might need it.
And thank you guys so much for joining in our second to last episode of Unfiltered Conversations, Chai and Chat. I was your host, Liana.
I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Raquel.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Unfiltered Conversations. Chai and Chat bring open and honest discussions on relationships and mental health. Some topics may be sensitive or triggering. If you need support, please reach out to call or text 1737 New Zealand Telehealth Services for free 24/7 support from a trained counsellor or peer support worker. Contact Shama, email crisis1@shama.org.nz for culturally responsive support. In an emergency, if you or someone else is at risk, call 111 police immediately. You are not alone. Help is available. All the information is above in our bio.
That it could never happen to all the people that you became. Your body lost in legends. The beast so very tame, but here, right here, between the birthmark and the stain, between the ocean and your open vein, between the snowmen and the rain, once again, once again. Women in your scrapbook, whom you still praise and blame. You say they chained you to your fingernails, and you climb the halls of fame. Oh, but here, right here, between the peanuts and the cage, between the darkness and the stage, between the hour and the age, once again, once again. once again. Love.